Hello all, and welcome to the Millport Podcast. I'm Andrew Smiley. This series will hopefully give you a greater insight into life on the island and some of the issues that currently affect the town. In this, our first episode, we'll be having a chat with the owner of a Millport institution, whose business I'll bet most of you know. So, without further ado, let's kick off this, episode 1 of the Millport Podcast. The beginning is always the hardest bit. Once you get that out the way, the rest should fall into place, kinda. Unsure how to kick this podcast off, I thought I'd start with a question. So, seaweed. Where does seaweed go? We've all seen it, right? The waves wash in and... Okay, can we have some wave sounds, please? Oh, there we go. The seaweed comes washing in with the tide and gets left high up on the beach. The water pulls away a few hours later and then comes back. And the seaweed disappears. So my question is this. Where does it go? Does it sit out in the waves and get washed back in the next day and the next day? Or does it sink back to the bottom of the ocean and become seaweed again? Or does it go somewhere else and become someone else's seaweed and we get theirs? That's the question. Let's see if we can't crowdsource an answer for the next episode. Also, if you get any suggestions, tips, feedback on this, you can drop us a line at millportpodcast@gmail.com. That's millportpodcast, all lowercase, @gmail.com. The problem was a simple one. Why a podcast about an island a few miles off the Scottish coast? As in, what problem does it fix, what gap does it plug, and what will be in it? More importantly, who's it for? The why is because, well, why not? I'm always amazed at the amount of folk I meet who know about the town, or have been to the town, or those who always wanted to visit the town while visiting Largs. Nearly all of them go, "Oh, Millport, I love Millport." So, that's why we're making this. That and the town has some really interesting stories and some pretty cool things to do that you might want to do if you ever come over here. Each episode will have a pretty loose approach to its structure. There'll be an intro, that's this bit, a news and information bit, that's the next bit, an interview bit, that's the bit after the next bit. And before we go on, just to clarify, Millport is the town and Cumbrae is the island. There's some locals that will look at you with a pretty fiery rage, thinly masked as polite understanding if you confuse the two. Now, let's see what's washed up this week. Here's the news bit. The main topic of conversation on the island lately is the future of the marine station. Here's the basics. The marine biology station has had its funding pulled, and as such, the future of the place is less than assured. This presents a big problem for the community, as the station is a huge employer for the town, not just in terms of the staff it employs, but for the trickle-down effect into the local economy. Look at it this way. Students do two things, study and drink. Well, three things, study, eat and drink, all of which the town provides. If the students leave, so goeth their dosh. The latest news this week is that North Ayrshire Council's Cabinet will look at plans from a proposal from the Field Studies Council. The Field Studies Council is, from what I've been able to find out, an educational charity, and their proposal, from the looks of it, would be to take over the facility with support from the council and other various funding sources. If you want to know more information on the town and what's happening, check out s1millport.com. Most of the town use it and it's updated almost daily. So that's pretty much the news. So on to the next bit, the interview. Cycle hire is a big part of the island economy and a major draw for visitors wanting to see the Clyde, the scenery and the several painted geological formations dotted around the island. Mape Cycle Hire is probably the most well known of all the cycle hire shops in the town. Located bang smack in the centre of the town with a bright red front and a bus stop right outside, it's a visitor favourite. Wanting to know more about the shop, I headed round for a quick chat with the owner, Kenny Mapes. And before I forget, if you hear banging noises throughout our chat, it's because, while we're talking, Kenny had a bright blue framed bike hanging in mid-air like a trophy, locked into a tall medieval looking vice which lived in the floor. The shop, funnily enough, is full of bikes. The wooden floor played host to a regiment of bikes in all shapes and sizes, all in neat little rows from floor to ceiling, leading me towards the old wooden cashier desk. The place smells of happiness for anyone who ever owned a bike. Mud, oil and metal. Here's what the man had to say.
Yeah. I'm Ken Mapes and I'm a partner in Mapes & Son Millport,
yeah,
with my wife. And the business has been here since 1946. My wife and I have been back this last time for the last 20 years now, so I've been doing this a while, basically.
And you said how many bikes did you have, actually?
450, that includes everything, including the tiny wee trikes and canyons and tags too and things like that. That's in the height of summer, that's what you need. It's not just for... We need to put out 450 bikes. You've got a school trip of 7-year-olds, so you have to have 50 of them. Now, you won't use them any other time. And similarly, through all the ages, you have to have enough to do what you consider to be your demand. And what we try to do is never run out. That's what we want to do. Or just about run out. And maybe occasionally we will, like Bank Holiday Monday, we were getting very close there in many respects, but... we didn't actually refuse people, we slowed them down a wee bit, that's all. So we kept people in quite well, but that doesn't happen very often.
Okay, let's press stop there. As Kenny talked, I peered down a long winding passageway at the back of the shop. What light there was dimmed and diluted by wheels, frames and spokes from the floor to the roof. It seemed to go on for miles. With over 500 of them, I had to ask, does he ever get sick of them after a while?
Yeah, of course, everybody gets like that. No job's perfect, you know. You always get issues, and there's a big physical side to this job with that many bikes. We have to run a bit, and Andrew's just experienced that in the last week or so. He thought I was kidding. I said, you really have to run. You do.
You do.
You really do.
I mean, do you just have to see on Monday there when you had the bank holiday? I mean... Uh-huh. How many folk did you have in?
Well, we had a queue out the door and along the road for about 4 hours. We don't actually see that. Someone told me that. I just knew the queue was to the door. I never saw the front door. You know, so, but I was told it was along the road for that length of time. And certainly, it was huge. But we are fairly efficient. We'll turn them over quite quickly. So, you know, if you're at the door sort of 10, 15 minutes later, you should get your bite at worst.
Yeah.
But mostly the bank holidays are the only time that you've got big queues like that. You know, mostly people will come in and get a bike right away. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we do it. It's easier for us when we do the big groups, like if we have a booking for 100, just fire them out. That's dead easy. That's just very quick, and we'll try to get 100 out in sort of 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But when you're taking individual families' names, addresses, details, deposit, etc., it's obviously going to take longer.
Okay, let's press stop there. At this point in the interview, we were talking away, having a laugh, but I had a notepad full of questions and time was running out, so I thought to myself, I might as well just get this one out of the way. It seemed like a silly one, and even now it sounds kind of daft, but I felt as though I had to ask it. He owns a cycle shop, and he's surrounded by nearly 500 bikes. Does he like cycling?
Oh, I love bikes. Yeah. Always have. Yes. And one of my holidays was cycling across America with my wife, and I think it's brilliant, fantastic to get about. You don't pay money for fuel apart from for yourself, which you need anyway, and it's a way you can see everything because you don't have any noise around you. You get all the wildlife around you. You interact with people much more because if you're doing a big trip like that, they can see you and talk to you. And the same is true in Millport to an extent. They all talk to each other.
Yeah.
So. I do always like bikes, which is kind of useful in my job.
Okay, let's press stop there. There's been a couple of cycle accidents over the years, and plenty of near misses. As Kenny is a bike supplier, I was interested what his thoughts on cycle safety were.
Do you always give out helmets as well and things like
that? We always recommend helmets. It's not the law as yet. Most people nowadays recommend their kids to take helmets, but don't, and I'm not talking to us, I mean, we leave it to the families to do their own thing, but we offer them, and mostly they're making the kids take helmets now, but not themselves. and that to me is a bit strange because they're not really setting the example, so the kid will do it when they're made to, but after that they won't.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. Millport's also seen as a lot safer for cycling than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so people think, we don't need a helmet, it's Millport, which is obviously wrong, but we only offer the service, there's nothing else we can do. We have the helmets there for them if they want them, if they don't, it's fine.
That's the way it is. The one thing I've always noticed with cyclists is wherever you are around the island, the one argument you always hear is we should have gone the other way.
So people, if I get the chance, I will always tell them the best way, and the best way depends entirely on the wind direction. Excuse me. Because if you get a southwesterly wind, there's no point in going east first, because you're going to be the full length of the island on the west side straight into the wind. So I would always recommend the other way. The trouble is, people come back having gone the right way and still think it's the wrong way, because it's been hard at some points, you know.
Yeah.
You can't avoid that.
It's always when you get a headwind straight into it, it's like cycling uphill the whole way.
Headwinds are huge. I mean, an example, when we were cycling in the States, there was one day we were into a headwind and we managed 40 miles, was absolutely knackered. And we'd cycled with a group who had done 85 miles. They'd set out, but they were a big group, so they had to do that mileage.
Yeah.
And they were in dark. And the next day, they decided, we'll not cycle more than 20 miles because we're too tired. We woke up that morning, and it was a tailwind, and we did 130 miles because it was easy, and they did nothing. And that just shows you what a difference the wind can make.
Yeah.
Not so much in Hopewell, I guess.
So when was it you did that trip in America? Was that
Years ago. In the dark ages. Probably 25 years ago or something like that.
Oh, it's not. I was only a baby.
Ah, yeah, I just looked the same then.
If you could sum it up, what's the main attraction in Millport for cyclists?
The main attraction is safety, really, because they can go out on the roads. There are cars there, but the cars are pretty good with the cyclists, whereas in the mainland they're probably pushed off roads into tracks, which means round about their home estates and things like that they don't use bikes as much as people used to. So Millport gives them that facility, and because it's cycle friendly, is an easy 10 mile trip. They can do it in an easy hour and a half. The whole family can do it and feel like they've achieved something. It's maybe not the place for long distance cyclists, but for a family day out, it's perfect. And it's flat, that also helps.
That's the key, it's flat.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all for this week. If you get any feedback or suggestions or criticisms or anything really to do with the podcast, please drop us an email again at millportpodcast@gmail.com. So until next time we talk, bye-bye.